Blog Talk Radio.
I believe when he said it, it's already done. I want to thank everyone for tuning in to another broadcast of Spiritual Strategies for Warfare. I'm telling you, every single day, you are fighting the good fight of faith. Every single day, you have to hold on to the promises because the darts are coming. They come every way. You look to the left, to the right, they're coming. And we're going to talk about holding on to the promise when those darts come, how to cause those darts to have a ricochet effect. I want to encourage you to be blessed with this music. It's already done. And I will be right back.
Already done. Oh, it's done.
holding on. I'm telling you, it is already done. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. Keep believing God's word. Keep holding on and watch the salvation of the Lord. I'm telling you, these darts and the target, you're the target, and the darts are always going to come, but it's already done. Victory is already yours as you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You got to get the job done, amen, so you can walk in God's best. This is Pastor Teresa Docks. I am truly a soldier of the Almighty God because I understand that things are going to happen. It's not always going to be your way. And when it's not your way, guess what? All you have to do is plan for the promises of God. Sometimes we plan something, but God has another plan. So I just want to start off with a word of prayer. I want you to get your Bibles out. Get fortified and get ready. Take off your baby clothes and put on your big girl clothes, your big pants, your big britches. Amen. And we're going to tighten up. We're going to put our helmet on. We're going to shine our feet. We're going to put our breastplate of righteousness on because guess what? We are in a battle. Father, we thank you right now for your almighty power. God, we ask you in the name of Jesus that you would see, allow us to see your will for our life. God, show us where we missed it. Show us where we're missing it, God. God, teach us how to put on the whole armor. God, show us how to be sensitive to your voice and insensitive to the sins of this world, Lord God, that we would not fall prey of the enemy's attack when he comes through our loved ones in the name of Jesus. God, show us how to the good fight of faith and to walk in an already done anointing in the name of Jesus. God, hide me behind the cross as I open my mouth to speak your word, to teach your word, and that there will be a deposit in your people. And that as this deposit is downloaded and uploaded in their spirit, Lord God, Father, that their life will be made better, not only having heard the word, but having eaten at the table where the feast of the Lord is going on. We just say, yes, Lord, to your way. Yes, Lord, to your will. God, and we embrace what you're doing in our lives, because we know that it's already done. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen. It's something about joy. It's something about knowing that the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's something about embracing what God is doing, embracing what God has said, embracing the will of God, embracing the things of God that brings a supernatural fulfillment where the things of this world has no, no relevancy, because you're pretty much walking in a whole different realm. And then you're walking with the joy of the Lord. And so every dart that's sent your way, that it did not penetrate your armor. Hallelujah. Yes, those bullets was formed. Yes, they shot the bullets. Yes, yes, yes. And every single bullet, it bounced off. Why? Why did it bounce off? Because you are dressed for the battle. Amen, amen. See, in this spiritual realm, in order to war, a good warfare, we must not be entangled in the affairs of the world. You know, we can't be so caught up with the things of this world because we're not civilian citizens in this present world. I hope you get what I'm saying. We are kingdom builders from a kingdom that belongs to God. We are warriors of a kingdom of God. So our thinking, our thoughts, our mindset has to come up higher. Oh, yes, because literally as I said that, I began to see an elevator. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get on the elevator. Let's get ready to go up. Amen. Glory to God. We're going to ask you if you'll be so kind to turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy. And we're going to start at the second chapter. Hallelujah. We're going to read verses 3 and 4. That's 2 Timothy, 2 chapter, verses 3 and 4. And shame on you if you don't have your Bibles out. Shame on you. Just hit your own self. Hit your hand. Pop. Get your Bible. Get ready. I mean, get your cell phone. That's fine. Go ahead and Google it. As long as you get there. Amen, amen, amen. And the Bible says, thou therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this world, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. This verse is telling us that there we're going to have to endure hardship. We must endure things so that we can be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes you can't retaliate. Sometimes you just can't fix it. Sometimes you can't, think I can maneuver and fix this and circumvent this and go this route or go this route so I can make this happen. No, we have to endure hardship as a good soldier. And as the Bible say, no man that warreth entangle himself. So you can't be warring and you all tied up. I mean, come on. Your legs is bound, your feet, your arms, your hands, you all chained up and you're trying to fight a battle. We have to be concerned about the affairs of Christ. Thank you. That we may please him who has chosen you. God chose you to be a soldier. You didn't choose to be a soldier. God chose each and every one of us to be soldiers because he knew that we could not go in without our soldier mentality, our soldier attire, because he knows that the enemy has already equipped himself to destroy the man that God has made. Amen. Amen. See, the enemy, he always spread false information. I want you to get this. He spreads false propaganda, you know, about each and every one of us. And then Satan, he also injects this false propaganda into your mind. We're talking about the battle of the mind on last week. We're still there because we understand that so as a man or woman thinketh, so is he, so is she. So the enemy attacked your mind, and he put false propaganda in your mind, false thoughts, if you allow it. Amen. So you have to know how to pull down everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. How do I pull that down? If it does not line up with the Word of God, if it does not fit, okay, we can't force it. If it don't fit, acquit, right? If it don't fit, don't force it. If it don't fit into the parameters or the the system or biblical principles, more than likely, is false propaganda. So we have to learn more about this as we study. You hear what I said? As we study the battle that's in the mind. Your mind, a whole lot of places. Your mind can take you to places that you don't need to be. And you can get in a place and be bound and not know how to cast it down, because sometimes you will feel like this is right. You know, this is moral. That's immoral. This is true. That's a lie. So we have to be very, very connected to the things of God, the word of God, the voice of God, so that we can be in the midst of wise counsel. Because guess what? There is safety in the presence of wise counsel. I want to give you a diplomatic proposal. And I want you to listen up and listen carefully. One of the strategies of nations that's at war, it's to weaken the enemy by a diplomatic proposal. And I'm going to explain to you what I mean by that. See, there are suggestions to get one to compromise. So those are such proposals, each nation try to gain an advantage over the other. You know how it is. Sometimes it can be indecent. An indecent diplomatic proposal. The bottom line is that proposal is so that the other nation or the nation that made the proposal can have up or have an advantage to win, to gain an advantage over the other nation. But let's talk about in spiritual warfare in comparison to a diplomatic proposal. See, Satan, he attempts to make us believers, he attempts to make us compromise with sin. You know, he attempts to make us say, well, you know, I mean, maybe it's okay, you know, they got to work out their soul salvation with fear and trembling. You know, maybe they was born gay, or maybe, you know, maybe. So we compromise with sin, or you might even make an allegation and say, you know what, you just so heavenly bound, you're not earthly good. Or we might even say is, you self-righteous. Then we become the accuser of the brethren. But we compromise with sin. And Satan knows such diplomacy. He knows that if he can use us in a way to allow sin to run rapid around us and in our life, the big elephant in the room and nobody address it, that it will result to spiritual weakness. So you wonder what's wrong. Oh, my God, I'm so tired. Oh, Lord, I don't have no energy. Oh, my God, my head is hurting. Oh, Lord. I'm so sleepy, but I can't sleep. Spiritual weakness. Because we compromise with sin. I know what I'm talking about. I can be, you know, I hear people say, all their energy is so exuberating. And it might be a person that have a high energy level, but their conversation conducive to your spiritual walk. So they pump you up only to use propaganda to make you feel good, but ultimately it will produce spiritual weakness. So we allow sin to take its course, and we sit back and we're okay with it. Okay. I want you to keep that right there. I'm going to keep it right here. I want you to keep that in the back of your mind, that we have to endure hardship as a good soldier. And we cannot be entangled with issues of this life and please God. We have to use spiritual intelligence. Felt like I just really liked when I said that word, literally, I felt like I seen something drop. Do you know that everywhere around you is supernatural? You don't see it, but it's there. Have you ever walked in a room, and when you got in the room, it was something present that you just did not feel like things were right? The spiritual realm is always activated. And we must know that we have to be equipped to deal with things daily, because the enemy wants to weaken us spiritually so he can attack our thoughts. So when a nation are at war, or nations are at war, there is always organized intelligence. So the nation don't go to war without a plan of action, where they have not strategized together the most intellectual or capable people to strategize their plan of action. And each side in the battle has an intelligent force. So now you got, I'm going to use two nations, and I just choose to use the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan on opposite sides of the fence. So both of these intelligent forces, because don't take Satan lightly. I'm not giving him accolades, but I'm explaining to you that he is smooth, and he would deceive the very elect if it was at all possible. So we have to be on top of our game. We cannot think that things are okay and sin is in the camp and we're in the camp and we have our mouth closed, or we not planning a plan of action. You know, okay, we say, Lord, give me what you want me to say. Lord, show me what you want me to do. Lord, you know, whatever your plan is for me in this situation, show me. Because sometimes it's prayer time, but sometimes it's action time. Sometimes it's time to go to war. So we take our intellect, and the forces, what they do is when they get together, they collect, and then they collect everything that's going on. You know, come on, give me a briefing, update me. In every field, you know, even when we would come on our job, And the nurses that were on duty, before I would get there, we didn't go on the floor to our patients until we were given information on what has happened concerning these patients before we got there. Amen? Well, it's the same thing for war. So they collect information. And then what do you do with the information? You analyze it. All the available information on the enemy. So we would take that information, we collect it, and then we would analyze. We have a plan of action for our patient care for that day. Patient need this shot. Patient need an enema. Patient. So that was the course of action for that day. Was the same thing with warfare. So we would take our intellect, our intelligence, and we would use it to help the patient to get better or to come back to themselves so they could be. Our goal was to make sure this patient leave the hospital in the fullness of health as possible. Now, the enemy objective is different. He wants to make sure you don't make it out the hospital. We take this intelligence and we communicate what we have learned to the other soldiers, to the other nurses, to whatever field it is. You communicate it to the counselors, and you come together and you engage in combat together with the same plan, and that brings a oneness. And we are all one mission, and we have one assignment, because division in the camp caused spiritual weakness. If I call for, and I'm going back to the hospital, if I call for arterial blood gases, and I need someone to come up and bring me some blood gases stat, because the patient's oxygen level is low. And when the tech gets there, they tell me, oh, I don't do venous. I do venous blood. I don't do arterial blood gases. So now there's a leak in this old building. I need someone to do the blood gases, not a venous blood, which gives me a total different result for my patient. So the point that I'm making is when you put the proper intelligence together, and you put the proper plan together, and you put the proper people together that has the same mindset, and then you put your intellect together, and then when you come together to engage in combat, hallelujah, because it's one mindset, and you're on one accord. In one place with the same goal. Amen. So in spiritual warfare, your knowledge of the enemy and his techniques and his tactics, they're vital to victory. So I'm going back to the hospital. It's vital to me to know the vital signs of my patient. It's vital to me to understand the oxygen level, the circulation of the blood around the heart, to the heart. See, these things are vital. So it's vital when we're in spiritual warfare to understand what the enemy plan is. If it's to cause division among the brothers and the sisters, to sow discord, because if I can get you divided from him, or if I can get you divided from her, and I can get you on my side, now you and her divided, or you and him divided, and now the camp is falling apart. Because, see, unity will cause the enemy to flee. Can't get in over there, and he cannot enter here, and over here is locked down. There's no weak links. Everyone is in place. So we have to know what the enemy plan of action is. It's vital in order for us to obtain victory. So we understand it's to kill, and it's to steal, and it's to destroy. He not only want to kill you physically. He not only want to destroy you mentally. He not only want to steal your thoughts. He want to take you out, your whole lineage. And then you become of non-effect. So the Bible is our intelligence manual. I like the way that sounds. I'll say it again. The Bible is our instructions. The Bible reveals the information on the enemy. So why don't we read it? See, as we learn of his strategy, Satan's strategy, the enemy's strategy, and his the scriptural counter strategy together, and we can determine or we can communicate with other Christians and give them a counter strategy, and we all win. So what Satan does, he gathers information on you or on me or on him or on her or on them or they. And then he learned your point of weakness. And what's the weakest link? How can I get through this target? How can I get in? How can I kick the door down? So he gathered information. And most of us are full of pride that we want to hide everything. You know, one of my spiritual mentors told me a long time ago, tell your story. Tell it on the mountaintop. So the enemy can't blackmail you. Once you've told it, you are off the hook. Amen. Tell your story. So you don't have to worry about, oh, he might tell. Because he wants to use that against you. He wants to hold you hostage. You know, some people are so private and have a ton of testimonies, but so worried about their self-image, they don't tell their testimony. They don't tell your testimony. When you don't tell your testimony, everything that happened to you, it happened so God can get the glory out of it. And so you can strengthen your brother and your sister so that they can understand that if he did it for you, he'll do it for them. Amen. God is doing some great things. And he wants us to understand how to use our gifting, to use our anointing, and destroy the enemy every single time he try to come into our thought life. I want you to meditate on winning. Don't give them your mind. Oh, I'm so depressed. I really wish I had a right to slap people when they say that. Okay, forgive me. I'm sorry. But I really wish that our people would not say that. Because understanding, all you're saying is I'm weak spiritually. We have nothing to be depressed about. Learning how to overcome these obstacles by looking at the joy and the things that God has done, it takes you to another mindset. You're on a spiritual high when you are grateful. And when you know that God has plans for you and your life and your people life and every single thing that concerns you. Concern the Lord. So the enemy want to learn your point of weakness, and he want to target it with an offensive attack. So he gather up information. You ever heard someone they say, information, information, I want some information, makes the world go round. You know, the superhighway is full of information. Information can be used to the good or to the bad. What's the motive behind that? So we're talking about the enemy using your point of weakness to target you and to use it as an offensive attack. And I'm going to play a short portion of this song. And when I come back, I'm going to talk about offensive and defensive warfare. How about that? How about that? Different type of warfare that will help us to win, help us to walk in victory. I'll be right back. God. So that's why I know that when a person say they're depressed, I can't knock it out of them. I have to let the Holy Ghost do it. Amen. So the Holy Ghost, when you allow the Spirit of the Lord to lead God and direct you, he will knock that stuff out of you. Amen. You can tell when a person has truly been in the presence of the Lord because the joy of the Lord is their strength. You can see it. You can hear it. Amen. I just want to encourage you, live this life full of joy. Laugh. Stop prejudging situations. Just watch the Lord do what only he can do. Amen. We all fall short of the glory of God, but guess what? He will shine on you if you let him. He'll give you favor if you let him. Amen. Glory to God. Well, I want to talk about offensive and defensive warfare. See, the army in the natural world, the natural realm, use offensive and defensive strategies. And I talked about this weeks ago as we have learned that offensive strategies in warfare is an aggressive advance attack against the enemy. And then defensive warfare is when the enemy attack and you must defend your territory. So now you're defending. But when it's offensive, excuse me, the enemy is aggressive to advance against you. Amen. So we have to learn both techniques. Am I being attacked? So what should I use? Should I be defensive or offensive? Sometimes you have to go to war. Like right now, one of my good friends, her granddaughter, is in surgery. Hallelujah. And she's a twin. And I'm going to tell you this story so you can understand when you need to go to war. So before her daughter, which my girlfriend, her daughter had just got her PhD, and their family of PhDs. But her daughter, only child, didn't have any children. And she came and she said, you know, I need you all to get in the battle with me because I want my daughter to get married and I want her to have children because I want grandchildren. And we spoke by faith. So her daughter got married. Amen. Sorry about that. The enemy don't want me to share the story with you, but I'm back like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I am back. Hallelujah. But anyway, so God worked. She got married. She had twins. Not just one baby. God gave her two, a boy and a girl. During her pregnancy, she got word that the babies was not going to survive. Hallelujah. Guess what? We went to war again. Not only did we go to war in faith, we started decreeing some things over the baby. And not only did we decree these things, God began to let us see these children in the future. Hallelujah. Literally. I saw the kids playing in the park, riding a bike. So I knew they're coming here. They're going to make it to the earth realm. So God showed you in part. Hallelujah. So now, today, the baby, they're 2 years old, I believe. They're 2 years old. If I tell you that I'm going to get in a faith fight with you, if we say it, we're in it. We're in it. So now, today, the baby had surgery. And actually, he should be out of surgery now. And knowing that we can hold on to what God has said, no matter what the enemy tell you, no matter what the devil try to tell you through doctors, you can fight the same way you fight to win, not just to defend her womb and her baby and the seed. We begin to target the action of the enemy, and that's to destroy these babies. So that's an assignment that we have embraced, that these children shall preach the gospel. So we walk in this thing out, and we're raising up other intercessors. We are giving them the same vision, so that they can fight with us, they can learn how to fight, and that they'll use the same weaponry. So you're talking about offensive warfare. So we are offending aggressively the attack of the enemy by prophesying, doing affirmations, and we release it to the atmosphere. We release it in her ears. We release it. We release it. And no matter what the doctors say, we're canceling those words out, and we speak what God says. And then we become defensive warfare by when the enemy makes the mother weak and she starts listening to the doctors, guess what? We have troops all around her that's ready to fight that spiritual battle. Connect yourself with people that know how to fight in the spirit, that understand that you have authority and you'll win if you hold on and walk in the good fight of faith. And then you connect with kindred spirits. You know, you don't want to be, you know, you are armored up, and then everybody around you are not armored up. So you're ready, and you're looking around, and the belt is not shined, the feet is not shined, the belt is not tight, you know, the helmet is not on. What I'm trying to say is they're not thinking right, they're not truthful, they're going all over the place. You have to connect yourself with people that think like you, that surround themselves with the Word of God, that know how to pray or want to learn how to pray. You want to have a troop that understand the value of unity, the value of oneness, the value of being on one accord, because one bad apple destroys the whole bundle. So we learned that parallel of both offensive and defensive warlike situations exist in the spiritual world as it does in Satan's spiritual realm. When Satan attack you, you must use defensive spiritual warfare. You know, you can't be saying, well, you know, the Lord gonna take care of me. And it's not that he won't take care of you. But when you're claiming new territory for God, such as learning the word and learning how to share the word and speak the word, and you put the word on the enemy. Amen. Sing your songs. Do your dance. I mean, sing the right songs. Do the right dance. Don't be going out there gyrating your hips and saying God is good. No. You want to praise him. You want to praise him from the inside out. You want to call your angels forth because they've been given charge over you. He said, tell them, go get your stuff. God assigned them to you. So when we're claiming new territory for God, we use it by prayer life, learning the word. You're fighting when you're doing that. Enemy don't want to hear that. You're conducting offensive warfare when you are sharing the gospel, when you're decreeing some things, when you use an affirmation. See, you are claiming the new territory in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you make righteous decisions, you're taking territory. See, you can become a great general only in the natural world, but in the spiritual world. I got people that I know, I call them generals because I understand that when I call them, if I call on them, they're not playing. So I want to know generals. I want to be connected to people that's serious, not emotionally a wreck, and all the little schisms, you're all over the place. You know, somebody kick your toe. Good Lord, we're going to talk about this for 2 days. Okay, God is good. Connect yourself with spiritual generals. You know, connect yourself with people that are able to help you as well as you help others. And it made me think about, and I can't recall this general name, but he was a great general in the natural world. He once told his troops, "We are not going to dig foxholes and wait for the enemy to come shooting at us." Guess what he said? He said, "We're going to move ahead, and we're going to move fast." See, a foxhole is a hole in the ground in which a soldier can hide. But the general was saying, when you dig a foxhole, you dig a grave. When you are in a foxhole and fire at the enemy, he knows exactly where you are. He knows your exact location. He knows exactly where you're coming from. So the general was saying, keep it moving. We will move, and the enemy will always hit where we've been and not where we are. See, this general, he did not believe in defense. See, his theory was that if the enemy was constantly under attack, there would not be any need to defend. But he realized that the force moving in offensive warfare had an advantage over the defending force. He said, "We're going to fight on our own terms, and we're going to win. Don't fight on enemy terms. Don't let sin be in the camp. And you sit there, and you watch it grow. And you don't ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and give you a strategy for success." So in spiritual warfare, the general understood the objective of warfare as the defeat of the enemy. It was not easy to do it, but he had a plan for victory. Oh, man, this is really good and good to me, but I understand that my time is up, and I want you to see this thing. Don't hide in a foxhole. You know, saying, "Oh, when he come, I'm shooting." Mm-mm. It's like called the element of surprise. You know, these surprise attacks. These, you know, like the terrorists. They surprise attacks. They sabotage. They ambush you. And all these surprise attacks are methods that's used in the natural army of at war. You know, these methods have things in common. I'm going to talk about that on next week. We're not confused. We're vigilant. Amen. Because we study the word. And the more we study the word, the more we get revelation. The more we surround ourselves with wise counsel and generals, spiritual generals. Hallelujah. We'll always win in our decision making. Amen. Glory to God. On next week, I'm going to talk about surprise attacks, decisive battles, and communication. And then I may have time to talk about targets and attacks and counterattacks. Glory to God. I want you to understand that we're in a war. We already won. We just got to walk it out with fear and trembling. And we got to use the weapons that God has given us. We have to learn the word. We have to know where to go, when to go, and why we're going. I'm not going to go any further. I'm going to stop right there. But I want to encourage you to join forces with us as we fight the good fight of faith. And we have some plan of actions that Elder and I have laid before the Lord, and we have received a download and an upload. Hallelujah. And we're going to share some of these things. So we're putting together an advisory board. And you don't have to be in Michigan to be on our advisory board, because the whole plan of action is to take it across the world. Amen. We're talking about spiritual strategies for warfare. I want to say thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for being faithful to the things of God. Thank you for loving on God's people. Thank you for learning how to forgive. It's crucial. Thank you for allowing the joy of the Lord be in your strength. Thank you. Thank you for denying yourself and acknowledging him in all your ways. Thank you. You're more than a conqueror because Christ lives inside of you. And with that being said, we want you to sow into where you're growing. And if you like what we're doing, now if you don't like it, don't worry about it. We still love you. We want you to go to www.giveify.com. That's GiveLify.com. And look for Kingdom Builders and Kingdom Daughters. Or Pastor Teresa or Elder Docs. And you can sow. That's one way to sow. You can call our office at 313-583-9739. You can connect with one of our ministerial staff. Or you can go and to PayPal, Kingdom Builders International at Gmail. And you can sow that way on PayPal. Well, I'm telling you, I just want to laugh, because I know the enemy is angry. Because I was able to give out some tools for the soldiers to use. Amen. I say God bless you. God bless you real good. Go and love on somebody. Go and forgive somebody. And then forgive yourself. Because it's a warfare that we have already won. But we're walking it out. And it's already done. I say God bless you. And continue to make Jesus the center of it all. God bless you all. Have a supernatural rest of your day.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you. Jesus, let me back say, Jesus at the center.